to record. We're in Numbers chapter 12 here tonight, so we just want everyone to know where we're at. And when we study, we want to get to that particular passage. We will be going to Luke 5, 12 through 15, not 16, and we'll talk about Mark 41, 41 as well, and perhaps some other passages as well. I just want to welcome everyone tonight. We've been looking at the Galilean ministry in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we have mentioned here, as I think of that again, I want to understand the Galilean ministry of Christ. We're continuing that ministry. He's up in the region of Galilee, and he's ministering the Word of God. So on your handout here, I had the purpose of this miracle was to serve notice on the priesthood and the Sanhedrin that the Messiah had come. This is the drive behind these few verses right here, because this is a special miracle that is going to prove Jesus is the Messiah and that he has come. On Sunday, we saw the call of six disciples to become followers of Christ and fishers of men. God has called all believers, whether you're a believer or not, that's between you and the Lord, to be fishers of men, to catch others. God wants us to catch not just fish, physical fish, but men by the grace of God. These men left their nets, aligned themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ as his disciples. They will follow him, walk with him, and learn from him until he goes to the cross. Then they will continue the ministry he began and called them for as the Spirit of God descends and indwells them in the book of Acts. We now come to Luke 5, verses 12 through 15, where Jesus confronts a Jew who has been defiled by leprosy. So maybe I was going to have you read it, but we'll read it after we read here in Deuteronomy. So we'll hold on to that and we'll read that in just a little bit here. Isaiah stated that leprosy pictures the defilement of sin. And he uses the nation of Israel to depict this. Notice his words here. I guess I'm right here in Isaiah 1, 4 through 6. He says in chapter 1, the sinful nation, and that nation was Israel, is as good as being dead. And when you were a leper, you were really dead to all of God's purposes in your life except to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The people weighed down by evil deeds. They are offspring who do wrong, children who do wicked things. They have abandoned the Lord and rejected the Holy One of Israel. They are alienated from him. And that's what happens to a leper when he's found and pronounced to have leprosy. Why do you insist on being battered? Why do you continue to rebel? Your head is a massive wound. Your whole body is weak. And that was also a problem with leprosy. From the soles of your feet to your head, there is no spot that is unharmed. There are only bruises, cuts, and open wounds, particularly thinking of the nation of Israel. And leprosy would do a lot of wounding to people, as I'll show you a few pictures in a few minutes here. They have not been cleansed or bandaged, nor have they been treated with olive oil. And again, this was all to illustrate and to be a picture of a leper. No wonder sin pictures the defilement of a leprosy, and that's why we make this guy look pretty sick looking, is because sin does that to us. It defiles us. It makes us really a mess about all of this here. So you might be asking, as we think of the man in Luke 5, we haven't even read that yet, how do we know this man in Luke 5 was a Jew? Well, because Jesus ordered him to go to the priests and to observe the offerings that Moses commanded all Jews in Leviticus 13 and 14, okay? Jesus had performed a number of miracles up until this time, but this is the first instance of a Jew being healed of leprosy by the Lord. Now, Miriam was in the Old Testament was healed by this, but obviously the Lord was behind that as well. But I'm going to just mention here, let's ask the question, what do we know about leprosy? What are some general observations about leprosy? And I just have a few things jotted down here. Leprosy affected the skin of individuals with sores that could penetrate deep below the skin to cause disfigurement in people with this disease. So again, one thing is it affects the skin and causes disfigurement in individuals, as I will show you a couple of pictures here in a minute. The disease was viewed by most as judgment from God for some sin. Well, that's necessarily true, but leprosy and sinfulness is kind of tied together, and the Jews kind of knew that. People with leprosy had to separate, again, they had to separate and distance themselves from other lepers, from the rest of society. What a leper had to do was just be alone or with other lepers at the time. The healing of a leper was very unique in biblical times. From the time of the giving of the Mosaic Law, there were few instances of any leprosy healing among the Jewish people. And here Jesus now is confronting this man who he's going to send to the priest, who obviously then is a Jew here, okay? Miriam, Moses' sister, and Nahum, the Syrian, up to Jesus' day, were perhaps the only two examples of healing. And Nahum, he was a Gentile, not a Jew. So as I think of this, as I think of even Luke 4, which we're not there right now, but 4:27 mentions, well, here's some people. Again, now notice the hands of this woman. She has lost her fingers here. This next guy has lost his hands almost completely. I mean, the leprosy has done this. And this third illustration is a guy that's really been handicapped because leprosy has eaten away at his fingers and they're just not doing well at all. In Luke 4:27, there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed but only Nahum the Syrian. Nahum the Syrian. The Lord dealt with leprosy in his word in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, with more than 100 verses on the subject. The priesthood was given detailed and specific instructions regarding leprosy as how to identify and deal with this dreaded disease. Only the priest had the authority to declare someone a leper, and only a priest could declare him cleansed of leprosy. Okay? Once someone was declared a leper, he would tear his garments as a sign of God's curse upon him or upon her. So we'll just take a look here for a minute at Leviticus 13, a couple of verses here. You don't have to turn there. I've got this right here on PowerPoint. Here Moses, or God is speaking to Moses, if there is on the bald head or the bald forehead a reddish white sore, it is leprosy breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall examine it, and indeed, if the swelling of the sore is reddish white on his bald head or on the bald forehead, as the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache, again his face, and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp. In other words, separated again from society and from the people. This was bad. This was really bad. Thus, this resulted in being excluded from Jewish society. The leper would have to wear a face covering below the eyes. A leper would never be able to enter the tabernacle or temple compound with the defilement of this disease. They were excluded. They were now separated to a place where other lepers resided. When encountering someone on the road, he had to announce himself as unclean, unclean, so others would keep their distance. They would be warned. The law required he would have to warn them. Anyone touching him would also be considered unclean. Now this is amazing because Jesus is going to touch and heal this leper in Luke chapter 5, as we're going to look at here in just a minute. Again, a person with leprosy was often viewed as having been judged by God for some sin. And this, a few instances I'm going to show you here, you'll see that in those instances. But oftentimes people got leprosy just because they lived in germ-infested world, a cursed world. That's no. Why do we get a cold? Why do we get cancer? Why does my head, hair on my head fall out? I don't know. It's just what happens. We're getting old, you know. And this is why leprosy and sin are often identified together, okay? The sin here in our life has separated us from God. We are separated from God, and sin and death is the culprit that stands between us. There's no doubt about that. This has separated us from God and His love, but the cross of Christ, again, is what reconciles people and brings them back into favor with God. Thus, we stand on one side, sin, death, facing the second death, and yet we come to the cross. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin on the cross and now offers us eternal life. How can we ever go again from sin, death, and the second death to God and eternal life? Only through the cross of Christ. That's the only way we can do it. And I showed you this slide here on Sunday morning. I thought it was a great slide. Jesus now was punished for my sin, and my sins again were now laid upon Christ upon the cross. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, He Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree. Notice a substitute came forth to pay the price for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us. And Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated His own love towards us. While we were still sinners, Christ came and died for us on the cross. Thus, Jesus was the substitute punished for our sins as our sins were laid upon Him on that cross. And thus, Jesus satisfied God's necessary punishment for sins. And that's why Jesus could say, it is finished. God's wrath was satisfied. And I love telling the people up at the mission in Alaska that Christ, the resurrection, indicates that sin is paid in full. And I like to write the word satisfied right next to the cross there, right next to God there, so that people can understand. And I emphasize with them, you know, it isn't God in general, it's Jesus Christ. He is the only salvation that we have, and salvation, spiritual salvation and cleansing, comes through Him. But we're going to see tonight even physical healing and cleansing is coming through Jesus Christ tonight. So sin and leprosy kind of go hand in hand in scriptures, and there's a lot that's understood and noted there, okay? Now, some examples here we want to look at here, some examples of leprosy in the Old Testament. And the first one here is Miriam, Moses' sister. Miriam and Aaron became a leper, not Aaron, but Miriam became leprous when she criticized Moses and his Ethiopian wife. She was a Cushite woman. In Numbers 12, 1 through 16. So if you're there, let's read Numbers 12 and we'll see what happened here. And although both Miriam and Aaron are called out by God, you can see from the consequences, Miriam was behind all of this. This is bad. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Question mark. They're questioning his authority and criticizing him. He's the leader. Has not he spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. He hears everything that sneaks out of our lips. There's no doubt about that. Now the man Moses was very humble. He didn't kind of raise a ruckus. He didn't try to defend himself more than all men who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, he calls all three out, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and he called Aaron and Miriam. He calls them forward, and they both went forward. You can just, you know, this is not going to be good. I can already sense this is not going to be good. This is bad, okay? Then he said, you hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to them in a dream, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Remember, he was put in the cleft of the rock and the form of the Lord went by him. No doubt about that. But God says, you can't see my face, lest you die. Oops. And you have to just see my backside. No, I lost my page. Anybody got the number right there? 215. Thank you. 215. How did that happen? Lost my page. Okay, here we go. Okay. Verse 9, so the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, Aaron and Miriam, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. She's infected with leprosy. Then Aaron turned towards Miriam, and there she was, a leper. Now that means she's got to be out. She can't be in. So Aaron said to Moses, now he pleads with him, oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly, no doubt, in which we have sinned. He confesses, please do not let her be as one of the dead. And that's kind of how leprous people were looked at. They're just dead. They're separated. They can't do anything. Whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of the mother's womb. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, please, heal her, O God, I pray. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, in other words, she needs a little humbling. I mean, sometimes parents, I'd like to tell you that you don't have to spit in your kid's face, but you need to humble them from time to time. You need to be hard on them. You need to be, perhaps confront them with something and say, you know, you're really a proud peacock. And maybe that's hard for parents to do, but let's take this from God, is what God is saying right here. If her father had but spit in her face, she wouldn't be so cocky. She wouldn't have been so challenging. Would she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards that she may be received in again. Okay, so Miriam was shut out of the camp. Well, that was humbling. You know, you see the be humbled or get humbled. This is really amazing. And the people did not journey until Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people moved from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. So here's Miriam, Moses' sister, becomes leprous when she criticized the authority. You know, has God only spoken through Moses? Isn't he going to speak through Aaron and me as well? She's thinking. And God says, I speak to Moses face to face. He's a humble man. You need humbling. Your father should have spit in your face. You need to be humbled. You have to be put out of the company for 7 days. And that would just absolute shame for a person to be leprous and to be put out. But that's exactly what she needed. So since her father didn't spit in her face, God does. This is absolutely amazing here. Okay? Second example. Here's King Uzziah was smitten when he trespassed the role of a priest. In other words, the king could not function in the tabernacle as a priest. And here he trespassed. So let's go to 2 Chronicles 26 and look at this passage of Scripture. We'll only look at this one. We won't look at the third one I have here. I'll just give you the reference and you can look at it yourself here. Just a few verses, in verses 16 through 21. Uzziah is the king, okay? Verse 16, but when he was strong and his heart was lifted up. Notice what pride does. It just lifts you up. I'm the king. You can't tell me what to do. I'm the pastor. You can't correct me. Yes, you can. If I'm wrong, you need to step up and tell me I'm wrong and show me from Scripture. I need to be corrected from time to time, and God knows how to humble me. He does it with my wife and me all the time. And haven't you noticed that in your marriages? Boy, that's exactly what he does here, okay? Verse 16 again. But when he was strong and his heart was lifted up to his destruction, that's what happens when you get proud. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. How did he do that? By entering the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. He had no business doing that. That was the job of the priest, like Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, who burned incense in the temple when his time was come to go to the temple to do that. So the king thinks he's such a big shot that he can overstep his authority and overstep his bounds, but he can't. Okay? So Azariah the priest, now here's this like Nathan the prophet confronting David with Bathsheba's sin. So Azariah the priest went after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. They had to be to stand up against the king. 80 valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. You shall have no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah became furious, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they thrust him out of that place, and indeed he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. Now notice, here's where sin was tied. Even with Miriam, sin was tied to this leprosy. So there's this connection in the mind of the Jews that somehow God is judging you for some sin in your life because he judged here a few people in the Old Testament. And he dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper. That's what happens. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Then Jothan his son was over the king's house judging the people of the land. Wow, this is an amazing story here. Third example here is in 2 Kings 5, 21 through 27, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, was afflicted with leprosy because of greed. Naaman the Syrian had come to Elisha and had offered him gifts, and Elisha said, "I'm not taking any gifts." Well, Gehazi, his servant, after Elijah's back was turned, went after Naaman and says, "We'll take it." And he took the money because he was greedy. He wanted more. He was worldly to the max. And Elisha told him later, "My eyes were with you when that happened. I saw exactly what happened," because Gehazi then lied to the Lord and said, "Well, nothing happened. I haven't been anywhere." You know, but God struck him with leprosy because of that. So a Jew being cured of leprosy now, as we think of Luke 5, was very significant indeed. So let's go to Luke chapter 5 here, and let's look at this passage of Scripture. Luke 5. And let's read verses 12 through 15. A leper cleansed. Are you there? And it happened when he was in a certain city, perhaps Capernaum, we don't know, okay, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and to make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came to Jesus to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Okay, so here we are. We're looking here at this passage of Scripture on your handout now. Jesus heals a leper because he's been defiled. He has this defilement. And because of this defilement, he's separated from the other people. He cannot deal with those people. In a certain city, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. He saw Jesus. Now, in this instance, this man was full of leprosy. What does that mean? It means he was reaching the end of his life. It seems the disease was fully developed in him. No hope of ever escaping its grip on him. This is absolutely amazing. And no one can really has healed anyone of leprosy except for Miriam, who was shut out 7 days. And the Lord did that. Probably the Lord Jesus Christ, again, in the past. But again, I'm mentioning here on your handout. Here in the gospel account, the cleansing of a leper was an earmark of the messianic age. In other words, when someone could heal of this terrible disease, it really meant the Messiah is here. And the person that could do this would obviously be the Messiah himself. Now, if anybody, in the light of the fact that no one can do this, if anybody could heal him, it would be the Messiah of Israel. And because of previous miracles performed, the word was spreading about this man, Jesus. So we're thinking about this. Let's turn back to chapter 4, and let's read verses 31 through 37 just to get his reputation is building, okay? Then he went down to Capernaum. Now that was become his headquarters there, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Notice the demons knew who Jesus was, but Israel, they can't quite figure it out. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. And then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And this report about him went through every place in the surrounding region. So his reputation here is building. More people are hearing about him. Even when John the Baptist, who's now been in prison, sent some of his disciples to question Jesus about whether he was the Messiah or not, note Jesus' response to him. You can turn over to Luke chapter 7. Turn over a page here. And we'll look at verse 20, and I've got these right on PowerPoint here. So, 7:20. Here they are. "When the men had come to Jesus, they said, 'John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying,'" this is the question we're asking, "'Are you the coming one? Are you the Messiah? Or do we look for another?'" Now notice this. "In that very hour he cured many of their infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. And to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard.'" Now what, you know, like he just must probably said to them, "You guys stand right here for about an hour and a half. Let me show you what's going to happen here." The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, preached to them. These were signs of the Messiah, of the Messiah who had come. So they could go back to John, even though John was going to be beheaded, and tell John, "He is the Messiah. We saw these miracles he performed. These are messianic signs of who he is." This is absolutely amazing. So this leper believes Jesus is the Messiah, and he could cleanse him of this defiling disease. So what do we see here? Secondly, we got two of them up here. The leprous man fell on his face and implored Jesus to cleanse him, okay? Implored is the verb here. It's an aorist passive indicative, point of time, passive voice. Jesus was being implored, okay, about this, but it means to do, to desire, to long for, to ask, to beg, to make request for. It seems the man does not doubt Jesus' ability to heal him, so he asks if Jesus was willing to heal him. Jesus is willing. Number three, the leprous man believed Jesus had the power now to cleanse him. Very good. So, I don't know if I've got this all done here. Okay, here's the question. So how did Jesus feel about this man with leprosy? I mean, most people were saying, you know, get away, we don't want you here to us, go away. You know, don't come and contaminate us, don't defile us. But in Mark 1:41, then Jesus moved with compassion, his love stretches out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Amazing, amazing. So next question on your handout I put down there is this question. How does Jesus feel about lost sinners full of the leprosy of sin? Well, he feels the same, the very same. He's full of love and compassion toward them. As a matter of fact, God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died on the cross for us. What more could he do? He paid the sin debt penalty that we owed that we could never pay so that we could go to a heaven we could never earn. Jesus Christ paid that penalty once and for all. Okay? So let's go back to Luke chapter 5 now. Luke chapter 5. We read, let's read 12 and 13 again. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left him. This is amazing. So we see again here that Jesus touched him and cleansed him from his leprosy. So again, I have a picture here of perhaps artist's conception of Jesus touching this leper who everyone else stayed away from. They couldn't get near him. Some added thoughts here. I'm thinking of this, what was going on here. He is touching a leper before he is cleansed, showing that he is not able to be defiled by this uncleanness. He had power over disease, Jesus did. He's not afraid. So in his humanity, he still was God, and he had power over that. Secondly, he is instantly producing physical healing of a very serious disorder that is humanly incurable at this time. This would take a divine person, the Messiah himself, to cure this person. And number three, he is not only healing the man, but he is pronouncing him cleansed. You know, touching him was not something that he needed to do. Remember, there's long distance healing of the nobleman's son. Jesus could heal from afar. So he just goes over there to show his love. Again, this is another indication of his love. In the context of his leprosy, this would have been the first time he had been touched by a clean man since he contracted leprosy. This was a pure act of love on Jesus' part, showing no partiality, again, willing to reach out and touch him and cleanse him. So now we're going to move on to the second part, Jesus' command to the healed leprous man in verses 14 and 15. Let's look at these verses. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and to make an offering for your cleansing, as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So my first point here is on the PowerPoint here. Jesus gave this cleansed man two commands. What were the commands that he gave them? Number one, tell no one of this incident. Amazing. Secondly, but go to the temple and begin the process specified in Leviticus 14 for your cleansing and healing. He'd already been healed, but the priest now would have to declare him cleansed. Now, the question I put on your handout here is this. What did this process include? It includes a number of things. And I went to Arnold Fruitenbaum. He had a number of things on his notes about this cleansing. I'm going to read those to you, and you can jot down whatever you want to. So what did this process include? This is from Arnold Fruitenbaum's notes. On the day that someone believes that he has been healed of leprosy, he would offer the sacrifice needed for having been cleansed from leprosy. He had to go show himself to the priest and then offer an offering. He would make an offering of two birds. One would be killed and the other would be dipped in the blood of the sacrifice and then set free. Kind of like the goat example, you know, the goat example. I don't have the scapegoat example. Number three, Then there would be an intensive 7-day period of investigation to determine the facts or reality. This healing real, or is this just said it's real? That's okay. First, it would be determined if the man or woman was declared a leper. If so, there would be a record of it, because only the priest could declare a person to have leprosy, and they would take notes on that and write that down in some ledger so that they had this information about the leper. Secondly, the person would be thoroughly checked over to see if all signs of leprosy were gone. Every day for 7 days, all hair was shaved off, even the eyebrows, for this examination. All beards would have to go, all hair off the body would have to go, and the priest would have to examine this person 7 days. If everything checked out, he would be declared healed. After being declared healed, there would be 4 different types of offerings on the 8th day. So 7 days of investigation, the 8th day, the offerings begin here. There's the trespass offering, the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the meal offering would be demanded. On the same morning of the offerings, the priest would take the blood from the trespass and sin offerings and anoint the parts of the body as follows. They would anoint the right ear, the right thumb, and the right big toe. And I tried to look this up and try to figure out what was this about, and I don't have a clue as to tell you why this was true, why they did this. But there had to be a good reason. Arnold didn't say anything else about that. I don't know. Then those 3 parts of the body would be anointed with oil as if for cleansing. Okay? Only then would the person be allowed to re-enter the Jewish society and visit the tabernacle or temple compound. Now, this procedure had never been put into effect. Why is that? In rabbinic writings, there were no cases recorded of the healing of a leper, except this one from Miriam here, and that's all he said about that. So the healing of leprosy was considered strictly a messianic miracle. Only the Messiah would be able to do this, because there was no record of anyone having done this, of having one cleansed in the past. In other words, the Messiah is here. That's how the leadership should have been thinking. But again, Jesus, this guy, instead of telling no one, he told everyone but the priest. So they didn't really get to hear this or verify this. Now, this created a big stir in Jewish society. Everyone understood that it was unprecedented to heal a leper. Healing in general was not necessarily considered messianic. But healing a leper was strictly a messianic miracle. Miracles of healing fell into 2 categories in the Judaistic framework. First, miracles of healing that were general. And second, miracles of healing only the Messiah could perform. And I think, again, as we look at chapter 7, verse 22, we see again... Look at that passage, 2 pages to the right again. Verse 22 says, "And Jesus answered and said to them," again, the disciples of John the Baptist, "Go and tell John the things that you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Yes, I am the Messiah. Go tell John," is basically what he was saying in this instance here. Okay? Healing a leper was one such miracle, and healing a man born blind would be a second messianic miracle. We will see Jesus perform that miracle also. When Jesus performed a messianic miracle, the reaction of the Jews was different than their reaction to other miracles. We will see that play out as we study more about Jesus here in the future. A third such messianic miracle would be the casting out of a demon. Only God could do that. When the 70 came back and they said they couldn't cast out these demons, Jesus says, "Why not?" And boom, he cast them out. So if you remember that story, when we get to it, we'll study it. Now we understand when he cast out a demon in Matthew 16, is it Matthew 16 or Matthew 17 or 18. This had all kinds of repercussions because the leaders did not attribute it to Jesus, the Messiah. They attributed it to Jesus who was working for Beelzebub. Remember? That had all kinds of repercussions. But getting back to the text again, let's look at verse 14. And he charged them to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Thus Jesus again charges him to show himself to the priest and to make an offering according to the Mosaic law, what was stated in Leviticus 14. They should have forced the priest to take Jesus' messianic claims seriously. This is what should have happened. But the priest would have known that by healing the leper that Jesus was claiming to be the Messiah. And this message really never got to them, although they probably heard about this. But again, I don't know if this guy ever went to the priest, ever offered the sacrifice. The text doesn't tell us that. The cleansed man disobeyed Jesus' command to tell no one. Instead, he told everyone but the priest. So we'll get to the bottom line here is, what is the result of this? The result is great multitudes came to hear Jesus' words and to be healed by him. As a result, Jesus' fame made it difficult for him to go into the cities and to stay and minister. He had to stay and minister in rural areas. He couldn't go to the cities where the population was. You know, when Paul preached the gospel, he always went to the major population centers because most of the people were there. And when he preached the gospel, most of the people there would hear the gospel, and then that gospel would go out from those major cities. Rome, Corinth, Ephesus, and Philippi was a capital of the Roman Empire there. So these are places that Paul went when he preached the gospel. But Jesus cannot go into the cities, okay? But he stays in the rural areas, but people still came to him from every direction. Mark's gospel tells us this. The trouble is that they came for physical healing, not spiritual healing. And that's what Jesus was majoring in, spiritual healing. But again, they would have to believe in him to get it. And I believe this leper got it. So the question is, how did Jesus respond to all of this? Well, he healed all that came to him of every physical disease that they had. There's no doubt about this. So as we wind this down tonight, I'm going to finish early tonight by the grace of God. What does all this mean to you? Okay? Well, I would say this, that Jesus still heals people today, but he does so sovereignly. But again, he's always sovereign, so that means by his choice. Yet not everybody is healed of every infirmity. A lot of people we know and are sick and they need prayer and we'd like to pray and have them healed. But yet God makes a choice as whether to heal that person or whether that person's going to come home to him if he's saved. Yet he encourages us to pray and to cast our cares on him in light of these things. The point is, he showed himself to be the Messiah by his teaching, by his word, he preached the gospel, and by his healing and by his miracle, especially this miracle of cleansing this leper, showed him to be the Messiah to certain people. They were responding to him in light of this. So the question is, are you spiritually right with God? And that's the bottom line here. And that, to understand that again, we need to realize again, our sins were placed upon Jesus. He died on that cross so that we could be spiritually healed. And by trusting in him and by putting your faith in him, that's absolutely true. And that's how we can be saved by the grace of God. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Okay. On that cross, Jesus took the punishment we deserve for our sin. He did not deserve to die, but he willingly took our place and experienced death for us. Jesus' death was a substitution, the righteous for the unrighteous. And that is good news to every person. Let's pray here, okay? Father, we thank you again for your word tonight, for the opportunity to look more at the life of Christ, to glean again the fact that Jesus with his compassion and with his love, is seeking people out. And people are seeking him, but it's always for the wrong reason. It's for physical healing, and I understand why that would be. But when they really needed spiritual healing, and in light of that, Father, when we talk to people, like when we go to the fair next week, and we can give people the gospel, it's the very message they need to hear to be saved. We pray again for open doors there. We pray for a number of people would be willing to go and to sign up and to be part of the ministry there, to reach people with the message of the gospel, as this is an opportunity we have to be fishers of men. Thank you again, Father, for your word and for our time tonight and for our fellowship afterwards. We pray and ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Any questions? Anybody have?